Good morning. Again, it's good to see everyone this morning. I'd like to welcome our visitors. If you're visiting with us, we're happy you're here. This quarter we are studying, what are we studying? Diseases of the heart. What are some of the ones that we've spoken about so far? Forgiveness? Envy? Forgiveness isn't a disease, so unforgiveness, I should say. Envy. What did we speak about last week? Not being thankful. Okay. We have another one this week, of course, which I'll introduce to you in a few moments. Before we get started, I'd like to have ask Chris, if he would, to lead us in a prayer. Amen. Thank you. Okay. We're actually going to talk about this some today, so I've been just referencing it, but I actually want to go through it because it's particularly relevant. Anybody need a copy of this who doesn't have one? Thank you, Chris. Hold your hand up if you will, and Chris will get you one. Okay. So I'm going to go through this just for a moment. I had it before on the board. Go ahead and get started while Chris is passing those out. So we start with an event, right? There's some sort of an event that happens. It can be anything. I mean, it could be, you could watch or see anything. You could see somebody walk across a parking lot. It's the way that someone interacts with you. It could be watching someone in a shopping center. It could be something that happens between you and your spouse. It doesn't matter what it is. Okay, but all of our events, these events, we look at them through what? Our filters. Now, our filters, it's how we see the world. Remember we talked about some people have rose-colored glasses, some people... You can either see things half full or half empty, right? I'm a glass half empty person or I'm a glass half full person. You hear people kind of introduce themselves that way or describe themselves that way. And it's just how you look at the world. Filters in and of themselves are not bad. We need filters, okay? We need filters. The thing is, you want to make sure you have the right filters and that your filters are appropriate. Right? So it is important for us, for instance, not to just see the world as it is, but we need to see the world and we need to look at our lives and the events in this world through a spiritual filter, right? That's a Christian filter, Christian principles. That's an important filter to have. So it's not about that filters are bad, but it's making sure that when we see things, that we don't just see the person, but when you see somebody in need, when you're a Christian, you just don't see their physical needs, but you see what? their spiritual needs. I mean, that's an important filter to have. So filters aren't bad. We need to have them. But some filters are bad. Some filters are not helpful. And where do they come from? From our experiences. Okay, and we've talked about this before. So a dog bites you when you're little or at any time or a certain thing happens, right? That's going to teach you something. And it will create a filter that next time you come in contact with a dog, perhaps, you may not, your behavior changes. So when you go through this loop, that impacts, that was meaning, dog biting me, not good. The dog bites me, the judgment is not good. This was not a good thing. This was not a good experience. When you get around to the judgment side, it hurt. You hold that in your heart. That was pain. It was scary. I felt helpless. I don't like all of that. That it pricks your heart in that way. And so your action next time you see a dog is you might start to walk the other direction. Okay. Same with people, right? Some people bite. They're not nice. They say things that hurt. They say things that aren't helpful, etc. Next time you see that person, you might avoid them. It drives your behavior because it pricks your heart in a particular way. And from your heart comes action. Okay? And how do we change our heart? So what's the important part of this cycle when you look at this? How do you change your heart? Is it that you change your judgment? Or how does your heart get changed? Okay, evidence. So if you go all the way back, it's the inputs into what? Into your head, into your mind. Right? What's Romans 12:1-2 tell us? That we're not to conform to the world, but we're to what? Be transformed. And how are we to be transformed? By the renewing of what? Our mind. Okay, that's what Romans 12:1-2 says. It says, listen, don't conform to this world. Don't conform to this, but be transformed. And the way that you transform yourself and the way that you change your heart is by renewing your mind. Well, how do you renew your mind? How do you do that? You change your focus. You put different things into your mind. Okay, you change your focus. You focus on different things. So all of those inputs. So you need to think about your coworkers. You need to think about your friends. Are you reading the Bible? You know, your family, the church, the media. What are you taking in? Because what you take in, it starts to permeate your being. Is it not? I mean, think about when you really wanted something, whether you were a kid or an adult or whatever. I mean, it's, you know, you're just thinking about it all the time. It's all you're thinking about. When you're thinking about it all the time, I mean, it consumes your mind and it starts driving your actions and you're always doing stuff around that type of thing. Because that's what you're filling your head with. You fill your head with spiritual things and you're constantly doing that. That's the only time you give your mind, your heart, your body a chance, right, to actually focus and pull through on spiritual things. Yeah. We have a choice. We have to focus on the right things. And so, I can't remember the passage right now, but the older women, one of the things they teach the younger women is to love their husbands, to love their children. Like, do you really have to teach somebody to do that? Yeah, sometimes you do. Right? Sometimes you do. Sometimes we're not all so lovable. So, you know, we have to teach, and we have to, so it's the focus. You have to have that focus. Okay, so today, you put things into your mind, there's some kind of meaning around that, of the event. You see this thing. I'll just use the dog one as an example, because we never started that one, right? I was on toilets a couple weeks ago, so we'll be off of toilets. We're going to do a dog, right? You see the dog. The dog's walking. towards you, right? Based on your past experience, you might love dogs. You may have had 50 dogs, right? And you're the dog whisperer. And you just want to run up, you know, so your meaning is, it's a dog. Judgment, this is a good thing because dogs are great. My experience is they're sociable. They give you love back. I have great memories of dogs. And so it warms your heart, right? It brings back memories. It brings back good memories as it goes around the circle. In action, I'm running towards the dog. I want to give, can I pet your dog? Can I give him, I want to give him a hug. I want to, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? Today, what we're going to focus on is the judgment circle. Okay? The judgment circle. So, when you see an event, you have certain filters, you put some meaning on it, and then you have to judge. Is this right? Is it wrong? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it fair? Is it unfair? Is it safe? Is it unsafe? But there's some level of judgment that happens. And so we want to talk about judgment today. So hold this in your mind while we have our conversation today. I want to ask you about a couple of scenarios. So what do we normally think about, or what do we normally think when someone doesn't let us into traffic? All right, so here you are, you're waiting to pull out, and there's a lot of traffic. We've all been there, right? And, you know, you can't get out because the traffic keeps coming, it keeps coming, and finally there's a red light, so it all backs up. I'm like, okay, this is going to be my chance. And you're sitting there, and you've got your directional on because, you know, you're a good driver and you're responsible. So you got your, you know, letting everybody know, I really want to turn. Okay, you turn your directional on, you're waiting and kind of looking to make eye contact. And the person's not looking at you. And, you know, trying to make, you know, even roll your window down a little bit, trying to make yourself bigger. Okay, hopefully, and then the light turns green and you're kind of inching out a little bit, ready to go, and they just go. They don't let you in. What's with that? What do you think about that? What are some of your thoughts? What's that? They're selfish, right? Really? Can't let me in? I mean, with that, how hard is that really? Okay, what, you're going to be like 4 seconds later to where you're going? What else? What are some other thoughts? They're just too big of a hurry. What are we really saying about that? So that's an observation. What's the judgment there? Okay. I'm in a bigger hurry. Could be. That they're not a nice person. Okay, we don't, they could not be paying attention, right? We don't know what they're dealing with. Kathy. Okay, sometimes we'll realize that I'm not that same person that doesn't let somebody in. What about when someone's late for an event, an important event? It could be anything, right? You made it on time. Okay? I'm not going to call anybody out, but right? Some of us just came in over the last couple of minutes. I've been up here. I know who you are. I've seen you all come in. It's like, what's with that? Do you not know that I'm teaching class? Okay? Or you're the person who's sitting on the plane, and we're all waiting for this person. They tell us, we just have one more passenger, just one moment, you know, and here they come, you know, all, and it's like, you know, thank you. Right? If we miss our, it's like, who are you to slow the whole plane down? So what are our thoughts when people are late? What are some of our thoughts there? We're late for a date, all right? Lack of planning, right? Can't you be more organized? I mean, don't you know that this is important? Okay. Okay. Where we go is, you know, you're not a very organized person, not very disciplined. Okay? What about the fuel pump? So you pull up into a gas station, there's two pumps, you know, multiple rows, but there's usually two. And you pull up, and the one in front of this person's empty. And I can't get around to any of the other ones. And they're sitting there fueling their car up, and the pump in front of them's empty. What do we think? Why don't you just move up? You know, you just had to stop at the first one. I mean, really? I mean, they just stopped at the first fuel pump and just said, you know, maybe they ran out of gas and they couldn't go another 10 feet. Okay? All right. I've got 100 of these. But here's what I want to call out to you that I want us to think about. In social psychology, there's a bedrock of a theory that's called fundamental attribution error. It's attribution error. Okay, it's what you attribute to other people. And basically, this is it. It's real easy. Attribution error is that when something happens, when you do it, it's about your character. Okay, when I see you do it, I attribute it, the attribution error is that I automatically attribute it to your character. You're not a good planner. You're selfish. Right? Whatever it might be. You're unkind. But it goes right to your character. When I do that exact same thing, it's about circumstances. Okay? It's not about my character. Okay? This happens all the time. All the time. Attribution error happens all the time. So, as soon as somebody does something, right, I trip over something in the house, I see my son trip over something in the house, I look at him and I go, what a klutz. I mean, this kid, I mean, he trips over his own feet. Okay, he tripped over his shoe. It's like, well, if you put them on, you wouldn't trip over them. Okay, I trip over his shoes. It's not about me being clumsy. It's about the environment. Somebody put a shoe out in the middle of the floor. Okay, when he tripped over it, he should have seen it. When I tripped over it, it was because somebody else left it out. Right? That's the attribution error. Do you see that? Okay, I want to give you a few more examples because this is really, really important because what we're going to talk about today are judgments and being harsh because these judgments, as you go through, what do they have an impact on? What comes after judgments? Our heart. Remember, I'm not saying this is gospel, okay, but there's a whole bunch of scriptures here. I mean, this is rooted in the Bible. Okay, so, you know, your judgments, it impacts your heart. The judgments you make about people impacts your heart, and then it impacts your behavior about that person. So we need to be really careful about the judgments that we make. So let's go back, right? Person doesn't let us into traffic. First thing we think of is about their character, okay? Which is normal, right? They're selfish, they're whatever. But what were some of the things I heard a couple of you mumbling? So what are some circumstantial things that maybe why they didn't let you into traffic? They're following the law. Sometimes, and that's the truth, okay? Sometimes people slow down to let people in when they shouldn't. I mean, you almost get in an accident. Okay, because they're too, you know. But what was the other one? They're distracted. I mean, they could have just had a horrible day at work. They could have just had a phone call, you know, from their child that's sick. They could have had, I mean, we have no idea what their circumstances are, right? I mean, it was 2 months ago, I got the call that, you know, my mom's about ready to pass away any minute. And I remember going home. I mean, how many times have we driven home? We get in our car at work or wherever we're at. We're at home. We don't even remember the drive. Right? I mean, we have so much stuff on our mind, we look up and we're in our driveway. So it doesn't mean that that person necessarily was being selfish or horrible or terrible towards you, that this was all about you. Right? There might be, even if they looked in your direction, it doesn't even mean that they saw you. Even if they looked right at your face, it doesn't even mean that they saw you. Doesn't even mean that it processed. It may not have even have entered their mind. Okay. Late for an important event, you know, maybe the car didn't start. I'm sure all of you who came in late today, you know, I'm sure it's good, you know, the car didn't start, or it was somebody that you were with, so you were ready, but you know, you had to come with a family. All right, so you were ready, but the ones who were in the other classes, you couldn't get them here on time. Right? It was trying to get them going. Okay. So it's not always about the person. The fuel pump. So what's the obvious answer there? And then they took off, right? So, you know, when you got there, there was somebody in front of you. You pulled up, you started fueling, and they left. Then you pull up, and we make all these attributions towards this person and judge them about, well, how selfish they are. And then I got to sit here and wait for them because all the other pumps are full, and I can't get to that one unless I try and get all the way around and then back up. And if I do that, you know. We do need to overcome it. The issue is that we're a little wired this way by society. Right? So we are pretty strongly programmed this way. We're also strongly programmed, you know, for revenge, and we're strongly programmed for, you know, evil for evil and a whole lot, you know, a lot of things. Okay, so we do have to work on this. We have to work on suspending judgment and considering other options. Okay, let me give you just a few other examples, because I just think it's at the risk of belaboring this a little bit. I think it's really important for us to get this, because we do this unconsciously sometimes. All right, so my neighbors, and I'm guilty, Sandy's here, you know. So my neighbors, they leave their garage door open like all the time. Okay, we've joked about it and said, listen, we don't even have to leave our house locked, because the burglars, if there's ever a burglar in the neighborhood, they're going straight for their place, because, you know, they always leave their garage door open. There's all kinds of stuff in there. You know, I don't care what it looks like as much as just, you know, I always think about, you know, someone's going to steal all this stuff, and there's like squirrels and birds, and, you know, why do you want your garage door open all the time? And so, you know, I think and tribute all these things. Well, there's been times, right, when I've pushed the button, I've watched it go down like halfway. I go into the house, and I got those little laser things at the bottom, and a leaf or something blows, and the garage door goes back up. Maybe they have a faulty system. Okay, maybe they're hitting the button, and they think, you know, they think that's what it is. But I am making judgments about their character. That also, I do think, you know, wow, would I lend them something? I mean, that could impact my behavior. They come over and they want to use a tool, or they want to use something, and I'm thinking, well, when you're done with it, bring it back so I can put it in my garage so it doesn't get stolen. Okay? That could impact my hospitality towards them, because I'm making judgments that may or may not be appropriate. Right? We've pulled in, another bathroom one, but you know, you pull in, you go to a rest stop or somewhere, and we've all been in bathrooms, and you go in there, and it's a single bathroom, and you know, it could be a unisex bathroom or something or whatever. Let's say it's not for this example, but, you know, you open the door. Person didn't lock the door. There's somebody in there. It's like, what are you doing? Well, you know, can't you lock the door? You know, so you, oh, sorry, I feel weird. I mean, you obviously didn't feel so weird. So I'm out here waiting, you know, and then they come out, and it's like, you know, you go in, you look, and like the door handle's like completely obliterated on the inside. There's no lock, there's no anything, and you're like, oh, okay. You know, then someone walks in on you while you're in there, and the process keeps going. Okay? Okay, you get the idea, right? Somebody walks past you. They don't speak to you. They didn't look at you. We put a judgment on the littlest things. So we really, really, as Christians, we need to be careful. And why especially do we need to be careful around our judgments as Christians? Or even not Christians, but I mean, just why does it matter? Yeah. Let's look at Matthew 7. Someone read Matthew 7. Particularly pay attention to the first two verses, but let's read the first six. Can someone read the first six verses? Okay, thank you. So judge not that you be not judged. So what's verse 2 tell us? Okay, how you judge, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So what it, okay, those are a bunch of words. What does that mean in practice as far as what can really happen to us? Okay, so I'm a real critical person, you know, and I'm going around and I'm assigning character flaws in my head right to the core of your heart. I'm making heart judgments, judgments on your heart, you know, all of the time, everywhere I go. What does that mean for me and when? I mean, what's the big deal? Okay, so they might think the same way about me. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. So, you know, God is going to place that level of criticality on me. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean that if I just tell people, listen, you can do whatever you want to do, I don't care what, that's another class, that then I can do whatever I want to do. Right? It's not, should we sin so grace can abound? Right? That's not what we're talking about here. Say, God forbid that that be the case. It's how critical are we? And if we're going to be so critical towards other people, and we have such a critical heart, and we jump right to conclusions, and we're judging people's hearts based on some of this surface information, Jesus is saying, be careful, because it's coming your way. Right?
A lot of times, the things that hurt us the most are the things that we're having a problem dealing with in our own lives.
Okay. So sometimes the things that bother us most are the things that we struggle with in our own lives. So we need to be able to look at ourselves, because the thing is that we do the same things. That's what this is talking about. It says, you hypocrite, you do the same things. You mean you always let somebody in? Every scenario? If we could replay your whole life, you always let people in the traffic? No, you don't. And you won't even remember all the times that you didn't, and all the times that you looked at people and they were trying to get into traffic and you didn't do it. And probably for legitimate reasons. That's okay. But don't get so wound around the axle when they don't let you in. Right? Because, again, the attribution error is that you're assigning this to their character, but in this case, they really did know. Be careful. Be careful about how hard we judge people in the intents of their hearts. Okay. All right, let's look at Romans 2. Romans 2, 1 through 3, what does that say? Okay, thanks. So he says, you're inexcusable. then why are you inexcusable? Because for in whatever you judge another, you condemned yourself. So whenever you're so hard on somebody else about something, let me tell you, if you're going to be that hard, you better have a pretty good track record in that space. That's what he's saying. Because when you judge another, you're going to condemn yourself. So you better be clean there. And the attribution error, if we're not careful, it's going to let us explain our situation away to ourselves. So we're going to hold them to a particular standard. But when it's us, it's because of other things. It's not about me. It's about the environment. The environment didn't let me do this. And when someone else does it, it's because of their character and who they are. And they did it on purpose, or it was their heart. So be very careful about doing that. Let's look at Romans 14:13. Okay. So what's this verse encouraging us to do? Because verse 12 says, so then each of us shall give an account of who? Are you going to give an account of your brother to God? Right, so you're going to be able to pull up all your judgments and say, hey, God, since I know you're working on him right now, I got my list on him, right? I know these are good. I mean, I have all these here. He doesn't care about what you think about other people. He says, in that verse 12, he says, so then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore. Let's not focus so much on other people. This gets back to the beam in your own eye. Focus on yourself. See yourself clearly. Now, I've always said this. I think it's worth repeating. It's something that I remind myself all the time, is that, you know, we're always so worried in this world about other people deceiving us. Whether it's through marketing, in the commercials, and hey, you do this and give us $100 and you'll lose 90 pounds in 2 weeks, right? Or, you know, we'll give you X amount of money free with no interest. And, you know, and there's always all the fine print. And we know that because we know, you know, if it's too good to be true, what? It probably is. And we've been taught that. We're like really skeptical. We're very suspicious of the world. We're very suspicious when somebody comes up. If somebody just walks up on the street and hands you a $5 bill, a lot of our instincts are going to be, well, what are you doing? Right? What's the catch? Is what we'll think. That's what we say sometimes. Well, no, here, I just want to give it to you. Well, you know, why would you give me a $5 bill? We're very, very suspicious. What's that? Yeah, then I'm going to owe you. Right? So we're very concerned about other people deceiving us. But who deceives us the most? Satan, but we deceive ourselves, right? We allow him to influence our thinking, so we deceive ourselves. Because with us, we let our guard down. In our own rational minds, we let our guard down. Whatever we want to tell ourselves, we believe it. And we start believing our own baloney. And so, what he's telling us is, you need to look at your own stuff. Right? Get your own stuff figured out. Because probably along the way, there's some things in there that aren't true. And some big assumptions and some lies that you've told yourself that aren't true. And you need to look at yourself pretty critically. We're told to work out our own what? How? With fear and trembling. You need to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You need to really consider yourself and consider where you are. We're to examine ourselves how often, we're told. Daily. Not examine everyone else daily, but examine ourselves. That was the Matthew 7, 1 through 6. After that was Romans 2, 1 through 3. Okay, look at 1 Corinthians 4. And here's another reason that's a really important reason. We've touched on it, but why we need to be really careful when we judge. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 5. What's that say? First Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 5. Okay, thank you. So let's look at this verse 5 just for a moment. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes. Because when the Lord comes, what will He do? What will He bring to light? The things hidden of darkness and reveal what? The motives of men's heart, or the counsels of men's heart. God's the one who knows the heart. Okay, we're judging the actions that come from people's hearts, right? Because from your heart comes your actions. And so we just go backwards. We think, well, if that's their actions, that's their heart. I mean, doesn't it say by their fruits you'll know them? Okay, by their and you will. But we have to make sure that what we're seeing, that we're not committing errors in those judgments. I mean, we see their actions, but we assign all different kinds of motives to their actions, which may or may not be accurate. There's a lot of things that are hidden. People do things for all different reasons. And I just want to take a minute to say that, as most of you know, I'm in human resources, and so I interface with a lot of people every day and have different types of conversations with people every day, more in a professional setting. And the corporate world can be pretty harsh. And people judge one another pretty harshly sometimes for the littlest things and make career decisions about people for the littlest things that they do. And I'm talking small little things. And these are, they're not insignificant. Okay, so it could be someone's presentation skills, and are they just perfect, and do they have quite enough confidence to stand up in front of the most senior leadership team and give a presentation? Or the way that they lead their teams, are they really just quite as supportive, or do they always just get it right the way that they need to with their teams, et cetera, et cetera. And oftentimes I'm asked to work with certain people like that. And when you talk with these people, it becomes very apparent that we don't know anything about them. We don't know anything about the things that they've struggled through in life, the abuse that they suffered as a kid, right? Verbal abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. You know, the things that they've been taught by their parents, the experiences they've had at work, all of these things, we wonder why some people don't have full 100% confidence. And it's a miracle, not really I'm using that, of course, but it's unbelievably impressive that they've made it and they're this successful. And then we're going to ride them for this extra couple of percent that we're looking for. We don't know people's relationships with their brothers, with their sisters, you know, all of these things, how they've overcome hunger, how they've overcome poverty at some point. You know, we think just because we see somebody today the way they are, we don't know people. We think we know people, but we do not know what they've gone through. And there are some of us that even our spouses don't know everything because we haven't shared everything with even our spouses. And we wonder, what is that? That person's just a little odd. Or that person's just a little bit this. Or that just doesn't seem just exactly right. And we judge, judge, judge. And they've overcome so much. And it saddens me. Because you can see, when you talk with some of these people, you can see their spirit, you can see their will, right, to be successful. And they're trying so hard and they're overcoming such great adversity. And I guess even with ourselves, right, all that's going to come out at some point. You know, here we stand as the great judge and we're going to cast judgment on these individuals. And we do the same thing sometimes with each other. We do it in our own families. And we need to know that one day all of it's going to come out and it will all become clear. And in some instances, instead of being hard on those people, even in the church, if we really knew what their life was like and we really knew what they were overcoming on a daily basis, whether it's physical illness, whether it's mental illness, whatever it might be, they would be an inspiration to us in a second if we actually knew all the truth. We would hold them up and say, wow, if I had half the strength that you have. Right? But how often we don't do that? We go right to the character. And Jesus got all of them saying, listen, be very careful with that. Be supportive. Right? Think about the options. Now clearly, let me stop. Any thoughts on that before I move forward? That's right. And that's one of the wisdom of having an eldership. Right? There's a reason for the qualifications of long-suffering, patience, being more inquisitive and curious versus judgmental. Let me fully understand the situation before. Because there is a time for judgment, right? We have to make decisions, even in the church. So even in that Matthew 7 passage, that verse 6, it says, don't cast your pearls before swine. And you have to know who the swine are. And you're going to have to make some of those decisions. There's many, many passages. I wrote a couple of them down, but, you know, 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5, Titus 1, 10 through 14. I mean, there's several of them where we're not to tolerate false teachers. Well, at some point, you know what? We have to decide who's a false teacher. And you have to make that judgment. And that judgment is not only appropriate, it is commanded. But that's why we need men in the positions that God has set up that are less emotional, okay, that are a little more rational, and to give it time to make sure that we're really looking at the right things and that we're looking at the truth and not just looking at a character attack. Okay? And that's hard for us to do. When we get into those situations, there's lots of character attacks. So, let me hit, how do we overcome? Well, I need to hit James 4. I know the bell rang. Let's hit James 4 real quick. I'll read this just for time. If you look at James 4, 11 and 12. James 4, 11 and 12. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge another? Okay. Who are you to judge another? Again, doesn't mean at all. Sometimes these verses get used out of context, so it might feel a little one-sided. There are times when we have to make decisions, as I just said, but it's the wrong type of judgment. So how do we overcome this? How do you overcome this disease of the heart, of being overly harsh and critical and judgmental? Okay, so get your spiritual life in order. Okay, ask yourself, what would Christ do? Now, Christ could clearly see the intents of the heart, right? We see that oftentimes. I want you to think about 1 Corinthians 13. We've read that before. And 1 Corinthians 13 talks about what? Love. Read that. Have love first. Don't assume positive intent first. Assume positive intent first. 1 Peter 4:8 says, love covers what? A multitude of sins. You know, and for the couple of times your brother does do something against you, just try loving him anyway. We're already told to love our enemies. Can't you love your brother? I mean, haven't they done enough? Is there not enough love in the bank there that if they make one deposit that's not good, isn't there enough in the bank to cover them for one or two times? Let's work towards that. Okay, thanks for your time.